Well, good evening, church family. I'm so honored to bring you the word tonight. But before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we're so thankful that we get to gather together to worship you this evening. I pray that by your word, we would come to value you and treasure you above all things, and that you would give us the strength to deny ourselves and press on to attain you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past November, my wife, Allison, and I had our first baby, and pregnancy wasn't easy. Allison had a challenging first trimester full of nausea, sickness, and fatigue. She had to endure discomfort and bouts of serious sickness throughout the whole pregnancy. And I'm sure many of you can relate to this. But Allison pressed on through these hardships of pregnancy. And in labor, I saw her exhibit a different kind of intensity and focus. After hours of straining and pushing, we were finally holding our baby, the prize of all that waiting and pressing on. Allison's determination and focus reminds me of Paul's intensity as he pressed on to Christ, his prize. And this is what our passage this evening is all about. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. But before we jump into our passage, let's remember the main idea of Philippians. As citizens of heaven, Christians are joyfully to pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. In chapter 3, Paul has been telling the Philippians to beware of the evildoers who are trying to get them to place their confidence in their flesh. And Paul's own example is that even though he has the most reasons to boast in his flesh, he considers those reasons as garbage compared to the infinite value of Christ and the righteousness he gives us by grace. Paul accepts the loss of all things, even his life, as we see in verse 11. If he can just have Christ and be joined to him in resurrection life. And tonight, we'll be picking up here in verse 12. So if you have your Bibles open, let's read verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And the main idea I want us to see from this passage tonight is imperfect Christians press on toward their perfect prize. So I'll say that again. Imperfect Christians press on toward their perfect prize. And we'll break that down in 2 points. The first point being mature Christians press on. And point two is mature Christians prize Christ. Now point one will include verses 12 through 13 as well as 15 through 16. And then point two, we'll just look at verse 14, which is going to show us that Christ Jesus is our prize. And my hope for us tonight is that we would see a mature Christian's way of life is not attaining perfection in yourself, but attaining the one who is perfection. And as we press on to be found in Jesus in this life, we know that we will be found in him for all eternity. So our first point, mature Christians press on. Look down at verse 12. Right away we see a glorious comfort. Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect. And this is Apostle Paul, the man who wrote 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. And he's humbly and openly confessing that he's not perfect and he's not arrived. What Paul is referring to when he says, "Not that I have already obtained this," well, we've just seen in verse 11 that what he's referring to is the resurrection from the dead. Paul's saying he has not already obtained the resurrection from the dead or is already perfect because he's still bound to his sinful flesh. And yet, we see Paul's confident hope, which motivates him to press on to make it his own. Why does Paul have such confident hope in his pressing on? Well, we see it at the end of verse 12. Because Christ Jesus has made him his own. Now that word perfect in verse 12 is actually related to the word in verse 15, mature. And the idea that the root word is getting at is about being whole or being complete. But Paul isn't confident in his own perfection. He's confident that Christ has made him his own now, and he will perfectly make him his own at death when Paul will finally obtain resurrection life. He goes on to say in verse 15, "Let those of you who are mature think this way." This way meaning not seeking perfection, but pressing on to obtaining Christ and the resurrection from the dead with all-consuming confidence. Paul says earlier in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Like a bullet being fired from a gun, we have obstacles in our path, but we will hit the target Christ intends. His aim is perfect. And Christian, is this your confident hope as well? Are you looking forward to when Christ will raise you from the dead and perfectly make you his own? This is why Christians press on. But what does it look like for a Christian to press on? Well, Paul is our example. So look down at verse 13. He says, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on." Paul forgets as he runs, both his achievements and his sins. He was a persecutor of the church, but now we see he's a passionate pursuer of Christ. When you're running a race, are you thinking about the miles that you've already run? Or are you putting your energy into every next step, knowing that it's bringing you that much closer to the finish line? Paul forgets what lies behind because he's been justified at the cross, and none of his sins or his achievements will be carried past Calvary. He strains forward to what lies ahead because he knows he will obtain Christ in resurrection. Paul presses on by believing the gospel. He's motivated and consumed with love for Christ, such that no status, no riches, no suffering, and no sin will keep him from running after Christ. UBC, what's holding you back from pressing on in this way? Maybe you're finding sin sweet, like David, who complacently stayed home instead of going to battle and pursued his sinful pleasures with Bathsheba. Or maybe you're amassing wealth, possessions, and comfort rather than using your resources for eternity. Or maybe suffering and trials are tempting you to despair. Well, press on toward Christ because he's worth more than all these things. And if in anything you think differently than Paul here, he says in verse 15, God will reveal that also to you. Paul says in verse 16, UBC, hold true to what you have obtained through Christ's sanctifying work. So we've seen in verses 12 and 13 and in 15 and 16 that Paul is motivated to press on because he knows the value of what he will obtain. So that brings us to verse 14, where we will see that mature Christians prize Christ. Paul says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Think of an Olympic athlete stepping up on a podium past third, past second, and on to first place, where they have the gold medal placed around their neck. The upward call of God is resurrection. Paul lives in such a way that when he dies, he will obtain this. Death is just the last obstacle standing between us and Christ. And as we'll see, I guess in 4 weeks, in verse 21, in resurrection, Christ transforms our lowly bodies to be like his own so that we can be perfectly his. We'll finally get to enjoy and behold the glory of the great humble servant of Philippians 2, 6 through 11. And if you remember there, it describes Jesus as the Almighty Son of God, who enjoyed the perfect loving fellowship of his Father and Spirit from eternity past, and who had every right to leave us under his wrath for our sinful rebellion against him. Yet, he's also the one who stepped down off his throne and took on human flesh as a servant. He humbled himself, and out of loving obedience to the Father, he accepted death on a cross and God's infinite wrath that was meant for us. God raised him from the dead and has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name. And this is our Jesus. This is our wonderful Savior who offers us his righteousness through faith so that we may be saved. And because he's our Lord and Savior, we have the privilege of bowing our knee to him in everlasting worship. And as it says in Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This is the Christian prize. Life in Christ and enjoying his presence forevermore. Christian, do you treasure Christ as your ultimate prize? If Paul were to look at your life, would he see you valuing Christ as he does? And is Christ worth so much to you that you're daily willing to lose all things that you might press on to attain him as your prize? To the non-Christian in the room, I'd ask you the same thing. What are you pursuing instead of Christ? Will it last through all eternity? Jesus is of infinite worth, and without him, you have nothing. Let me encourage you to put your faith in what will last. Jesus will make you his own if you just come to him. For all eternity. Let's pray.